Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Genesis chapter number 26 is where we're going to share. And praise God, we're talking about, amen, the whales tonight and water. And guess what? It's raining outside. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I know that the meteorologists are predicting lots of tornadic weather. But let's look on the bright side of this. Anytime it begins to rain, it's a sign that the heavens are open over you. Tell somebody the heavens are open over you. Amen? Praise God. Amen. The heavens are open over you. It's a familiar text tonight, Genesis chapter 26. Amen. As we share about the life of Isaac. Isaac is in a time of famine at this particular time. Abraham has been there also. But now he's challenged to stand still and to stay where he is. Amen? And oftentimes when we hear the word faith and when we talk about faith, we always equate faith to going and to moving forward. But how many know sometimes it takes as much faith to stand still than it does to go forward? And some of you tonight, God's going to give you faith to stay when you're ready to go. Okay, let's just be real. Have you ever had your bags packed, sitting by the door and ready to go, and God says no? Okay, some of y'all want to say amen, but you're sitting too close. I understand. Just wink at me. Okay, I got you. Praise the Lord. But it takes faith to stay when you want to go. Amen? And the Holy Spirit says, hold up, not now. The time is not right to move. So what do? You stay and you wait on God. Amen? Whether it's moving to another job, whether it's moving to another church, whether it's moving, amen, to another ministry, it doesn't make any difference. Praise God. Or to another city. And God says, no, you stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. So here's what has happened. There's famine in the land, Genesis 26 and 1. And there was famine in the land besides the first famine that were in the days of Abram. Amen. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land where I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will bless you. I will bless thee, and for unto thee and unto thy seed, and I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham your father. Praise God. Verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Amen. He stayed right there. Even though he was wanting to go, but he obeyed the voice of God. And verse 12 says, and Isaac sowed in that land. What land? A land of famine. And received the same year, amen, 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, went forward, and he grew until he was very great. He had possessions of flocks and herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Praise God. Verse 15 says, but all the wells which his father's servant had digged, amen, in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. Praise God. But verse 18 says, and Isaac digged again the wells of Abraham. I want to talk about tonight, amen, I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, keep digging until your flow comes back. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight that you've called us here for such a time as this. Holy Spirit, anoint our ears until we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our hearts that we may be receptive to your word. And Lord, I pray that this word not only bring revelation, but it gives us confirmation. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Praise God. On your way down, tell somebody, I got my flow back. I've got my flow back. Praise God. Amen. I love preaching from this particular text, ladies and gentlemen, as it relates to Isaac. Now, before I dove off into this text tonight, you have to understand that you're dealing with what? Three generations here. Amen. It's always Isaac. Amen. And then it's Abraham. And then it's Jacob. It starts with who? Abraham. Isaac, and then Jacob. They're all linked together. Praise God, because the blessing starts on the head of who? On the head of Abraham. Now, Abraham, ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't come really to preach about him tonight, but it's impossible for me to talk about Isaac without first mentioning his father, Abraham. Everybody know Father Abraham. Amen? He's known for what? Faith. Because you can't talk about Abraham without talking about faith. He's the father of our faith. Praise God. Paul talks about him, amen, how Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but through faith he believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness' sake. Amen. Aren't you thankful for Abraham tonight? Amen. Abraham, ladies and gentlemen, amen, helps us today because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the scripture says. Amen. We've got to have faith. Whatever we do is got to be coupled with faith. And faith doesn't always make things easier. It just simply makes things possible. Can I say that again? Faith doesn't remove the storm from us, but faith calms us in the midst of the storm. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. Faith doesn't always take the pain away, but faith gives us the ability to endure whatever we have to go through. Oh, I thank God for faith. Praise God. And let me submit to you tonight that the devil is not after your truck and the boat that's behind it. And there are people say, oh, would you pray for me? The devil's trying to take my truck. He don't want your truck or your bass boat. Now, I may take the boat. Hello. In case you don't want the boat, see me after church. Come on. Praise God. But the devil doesn't want your, he doesn't want your truck, your pickup truck, or your boat. He don't want your car. Oh, pray. The devil's trying to steal my house. No, he doesn't want your house. Amen. He wants this house. Amen. And let me tell you what he's really after. He's after your faith. Praise God. How do you know that? So now Jesus says, Simon, Simon, in the gospel according to Luke, amen, Satan desires to what? To sift you as wheat. But I prayed that your faith will fail you not. Notice this. Notice this. He never prayed that the economy wouldn't fail. He never prayed that your health would not fail you. He never prayed that your family, come on, or your marriage wouldn't fail. But he prayed one thing, that your faith will fail you not, because as long as I got faith, come on somebody, I can make it through the storm. As long as I got faith, I can slap the devil, come on, and the enemy has to back up. Whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with, you need to understand tonight, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that the devil is after your faith. Look at somebody and tell him, don't let him take your faith. Don't let him take your faith. Pastor Lang, it's so good to see you all the way from Fort Smith. Come on, y'all. Praise God for him. Amen. I'm sure he drove through the storm, but he made it. Thank you, Jesus. And so now, amen, as long as you can hold on to your faith, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what hell throws at you, you'll bounce back every time. Praise God. And you got to hold on to the promises of God. And whatever, amen, promise that's down in the fabric of your spirit, you got to rehearse the promises of God over and over and over again. And I didn't really come to really preach about that tonight, but it's important. And somebody needs to hear that, because maybe you're at a point where you want to give up and you want to throw in the towel, but let me tell you, it's your faith that's going to make you overcome. Tell somebody, I'm going to get through it by my faith. I remember it's been almost 30 years ago. I was preaching in a little country town, almost like this, but not quite. Praise the Lord. And they had houses. Amen. Okay. That didn't go over very well. Come on. And so, but I can recall going to the city, and it's a little small town. And on the last night of this revival, I'll never forget it, I was preaching on faith and trusting God and believing God. And so at the end of the service on a Friday night, we're getting ready to dismiss. And so I ask everyone to bow their heads as we prepare for a dismissal. And I could see in the back, this lady, I mean, she's just throwing her hands in the air. And I looked at the pastor and I looked at her, and she's trying to get my attention. And I said to the pastor, I think this lady's trying to. And then finally, she comes running to the front. And she says, I want you to pray. You preached on faith tonight. I want you to pray that I have a baby. I said, well, praise the Lord. Is your husband here? She says, yes. She turned around and said, get up here. And that guy turned red. Come on, somebody. He's like, he walks up front, and you know, and so there we were. My wife and I remember laying hands on them. And she says, we've been trying to have a child for 8 years. We've been married for 8 years. We've gone to doctor after doctor. But God made me a promise, listen, that we were going to have children. So I said, well, if God told you that, he cannot go back on his word. Come on, do I have any believers in here? If God said it, it will come to pass. And so as a result of that, we prayed and we anointed them. And amen. And she said it had been 8 years, First Lady. But guess what? Eight is the number of new beginnings. Come on now, praise God. And so, you know, you go from city to city and you pray for people and you don't always remember what you said and you don't always remember, you know, certain faces. But I remember maybe 6 months from there, amen, I was in my hometown going through Walmart checkout line and this blonde-headed girl comes through the door and she notices me and she screams out. There's a lot of people in Walmart. And she says, Brother Webb, look. I said, hi. She says, remember me? I said, uh-uh. She goes, you know me? I said, no, I don't know you. And I'm thinking, who is this crazy woman? And so the cashier stopped. Everybody in the line froze. Hello. When black people get nervous, we turn purple. Y'all turn pink and red. Oh, it was a show. Come on, somebody. And everybody stopped. And I'm thinking, who is this crazy lady? And so I said, excuse me. So I stepped out of the line and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know you. She says, remember the last time we was together? I said, oh, God. I'm thinking, who? She says, you prayed for me down in a little town called Williamsville, Missouri. And she says, I'm the lady that wanted to have the baby. I said, yes, I remember. Now I need you to get on the loudspeaker and tell everybody in Walmart, don't kill my ministry. Come on, somebody. And you know what? This lady, amen, had a beautiful a little boy. And so my wife and I were in a restaurant. I promise you, amen, 5 years later, this lady was pregnant again. And she said, this was number five. Yeah, that's what I said. Woo! So I said to her, hey, girlfriend, you need to get your happy hips back in the prayer line so we can reverse the curse. Hello. Every time we saw her, we run into her. I said, oh, no, there she go again. Come on, somebody. But here's what she said. She says, God said that he was going to give us children. Amen. It was 8 years later, and now she's got five children. Hello, somebody. I don't know who God sent me here to talk to tonight, but if there's a promise down in your spirit, you ought to shake it in the devil's face and say, I refuse to give up, because if God said it, come on, I'm crazy enough to believe it. Do we have any believers in here? Oh, come on, talk back to me. Praise God. Amen. If God said, I'm going to save your son, he may be strung out on drugs. Amen. And listen, amen, he may think his answer is in the bottom of the bottle. He may be a wino and a drug addict right now. But if God said that boy's going to be saved, I need you by faith to start praising God right now and act like it's already done. Come on, I feel something in here. Anybody got the kind of faith to say, by faith, it's already done? Amen. By faith, my daughter is saved. By faith, my son is delivered. It takes faith to trust God when you can't trace God. Woo! Amen. I think it's Psalm 77 where David says his footprint or his footsteps are not known. This is interesting. Now, I don't know. Do y'all hunt out here, Pastor? Y'all do hunt. Come on. I don't know. I'm just asking. Amen. I didn't see any woods. I just saw flat land. Come on now. Like my friends, I brought them in one time to hunt and they shot somebody's cow. Hello. They were just so happy to have a gun in a field to see an animal. Come on. Hallelujah. And so here's what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you have to understand, amen, you may have the ability to track deer, and you can track a bobcat or track wild turkey, amen, and track rabbits, but let me tell you something, you can't track God. None of us have the ability to track God. But how many know you got to trust him when you can't track him? And you got to say, hey, if God said it, these words have gone out of his mouth and they shall not return void. Is anybody in here have a promise over your head right now? And even though it has not come to pass or come to fruition, you know in your spirit that it's about to happen for you. Who am I talking to tonight? Come on, somebody. Praise God. Amen. I want you to take about 30 seconds right now and put a praise on every promise that God has given you in this house. Come on. Come on. You're not just patty caking. You're praising God for the miracle that's getting ready to come your way. Oh, come on. That's weak. Give God a praise in the house. Woo. Hallelujah. God's going to do it because what? He said he's going to do it. So Isaac now, ladies and gentlemen, is getting ready to go down to Egypt. But he says, no, don't go down to Egypt. Why? Because Abraham went down to Egypt. Why? Because there were running waters in Egypt. But now they're in a famine. Okay, but before I hone in on the text tonight, I just gave you, amen, a brief overview or a brief synopsis of the life of Abraham. He represents faith and trusting God. And let me tell you, if you're going to walk with God in this season, you got to trust him. I think I got some witnesses in here. You got to trust God. And then he's linked with Isaac. And then after Isaac, here comes Jacob. What does Jacob represent? Jacob represents, amen, encounters with God. Ooh, some of y'all had an encounter with God today. And you'll never be the same again. Praise God. It was this Jacob, amen, while he's in the womb. You know the story. Amen. He's a twin. He's grabbing the heel of Esau. He's trying to get here before Esau. So he grabs his heel. His name means grabber, heel grabber. Amen. One translation says it means reach far. Praise God. Don't miss this. Now, after he's born, ladies and gentlemen, now he's grabbing what? The birthright of his brother. Amen. So he stole the birthright. He's grabbing for it. Amen. But something happens to Jacob after he wrestles with the angel. Y'all know the story. Praise God. He comes to the brook called Jabbok. The word Jabbok there means breaking point. Lord have mercy. If you want revival to break out, you let people come to a place of brokenness. Amen. When you realize that you can't do it, when you realize it's bigger than you, when you realize, amen, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says God, that's when God steps in and works on your behalf. I don't know who God, amen, has sent me to talk to and minister tonight, but God says, you got to take your hands off and let me handle this. Who am I talking to? Amen. Just touch your neighbor and say, take your paws off. Go ahead and tell them, take your paws off of this. Amen. God can't fix it as long as you're trying to fix it. And so now Jacob wrestles with the angel, and the Bible says his hip is thrown out of joint. Isn't that something? This is interesting. And when he gets up, he's walking now with a limp. Oh, limping Jacob. Isn't this something? Amen. Wherever he goes, he's limping. Amen. But let me give you the revelation to this text, because there's no way you can have an encounter with God and get up walking the same way. Woo! Woo! Who am I talking to? Some of us got a limp, but the limp is a reminder of your encounter with God. Can you say amen? I'm thankful tonight that I walked with a limp because I had a head collision with Jesus, and he changed my life like he's going to change your life. Can you say amen? You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. Amen. You don't act the same. Now, because Jacob has had an encounter with God. Ladies and gentlemen, the first stage of his life, amen, he's grabbing heels and he's reaching for the heel of his brother. The second stage of his life, he's reaching now for his birthright. But the third phase of his life, he's reaching for God. And I want to know how many in this room tonight is reaching for God. You've tried everything, but now you got to reach for God. You got to reach to Him. We're in a time now, amen, it's unprecedented. We've never been here before. It's a new day. It's a new hour. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't know what to do. Come on now. Praise God. Amen. Never have there been a time of unrest, amen, in our nation or even in the whole world. This, not just the United States, but in the whole entire world. People are yet walking in fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, in a sound mind. Sometimes you got to walk through the house and lay hands on your own head and tell the devil, you will not drive me crazy. Come on, somebody. I have the mind of Christ, and I refuse to allow what's happening around me, amen, to interrupt, amen, the flow of God that's in my life. At the end of the day, the devil wants to stop the flow in your life and in your church. Hello, somebody. Thank God that you've got worshipers in this house. My God, and thank God. Amen. Come on, let's praise God for these young folk that's in here right now. Come on, y'all. Come on. They could be in the streets doing a thousand other things, but they're sitting on the front row giving God glory. They're worshiping God. You better praise God for these young folk. Oh, come on. That's right. Stand on your feet and honor them tonight. Amen. I preach across the country. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. But I also say, parents, honor your children. Parents, you better be nice to your kids. They may have to pick your nursing home. And all the kids said, don't you say amen. This girl almost kicked her shoes off. Amen. I'm going to lay hands on you tonight. Praise God. And so, amen, you got to thank God for them because they represent the next generation. Amen. So now you got Abraham that represents faith and also altars, and I won't deal with that portion of the text tonight. But then you got Jacob, amen, that represents encounters with God. Oh, God, help me tonight, Holy Spirit. Praise God. Not only Jacob, but look at Moses. He's out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, he's in a dry desert, and all of a sudden, he beholds a bush that catches on fire, but it doesn't go out. Some theologians say, well, it's not a big deal, you know, because if you're not careful, amen, if you listen to some of these theologians, amen, in Bible school, they'll have you as an unbeliever. They said it wasn't really a big deal because bushes catch on fire all the time in the desert. That's what one professor said to us. And I said, yeah, but when you read the text, it says, but this fire never went out. Come on now. The rest of the fires went out, but this one was not consumed. Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is what? Holy ground. Thank you. It was an encounter with God. And God gives Moses the recipe for victory. Can you say amen? And not only him. You says, well, these are all Old Testament characters. Okay, let's jump into the New Testament. What about Saul of Tarshish? He's a Christian killer. Come on the road, amen, of Damascus. He's got letters from Damascus to kill Christians and to destroy them. But all of a sudden, he had an encounter with God. knocked him off of his beast and said, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Come on. Amen. Who art thou? Amen. Lord, I'm Jesus. Amen. Whom thou persecute. Get up and go to a street called Straight. And there's a man by the name of Ananias. He shall lay his hands on you. Come on, somebody. Saul had an encounter with God. Now, wait a minute. Amen. Pastor Layton, you got to help me with this one. Amen. Maybe I need to go back to school. But I read in the text, even before Saul was converted to Paul, God says, he's my chosen vessel. I'm going to get in trouble here. Praise God. This is my last night. I can hit and run. Hello. He calls him a chosen vessel. But wait a minute. He have not named the name of the Lord yet. But God says, he's my chosen vessel. I'm going to have some of you sitting in this room and some of you watching tonight, amen, via live stream. Amen. Now, he says that he is a chosen vessel, but he's a Christian killer. But God says, he's my man. Can I submit to you tonight that if you'll learn to look beyond what your children are doing and say, there's still a promise over your life. Okay, let me try it on this side. You may be sitting in a prison cell or in a jail cell, or maybe you're sitting in a room of a rehab center. But listen, there's still a promise over your life. And some of you, amen, you know God told you while you were carrying. Come on, mamas. God gave you a word for that son and that daughter while they were still locked up in your womb. You need to understand that your child didn't come from you. Your child came through you, and God used your womb as a vehicle to get them here. But at the end of the day, they don't belong to you. They belong to God. Somebody give him praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I sense the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know this couple sitting in the back here, and I'm trying to mind my own business, but the Holy Spirit keeps on directing me to you all. He says, the promise that he's given you, he says, start praising him right now because it will come to pass. You, sir, you, ma'am, come on, somebody. Start praising God right now like it's already done. Okay. Well, but you don't understand. My son is strung out on drugs. Amen. He's a meth head. Amen. She is, amen, in the streets doing everything. No. They are chosen by God. There's blood on them. Come on. Amen. You have pleaded the blood of Jesus over their life. And I need about 25 people that's got enough faith tonight. Amen. In spite of what your children are going through. I hear this Holy Ghost. God says, can you praise him right now for the promise that's over their life because they are a chosen vessel? Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. You're not clapping for me. You're praising God for the promise that's over your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. If God says, I'm going to open a door, amen, no man can shut it. And if God says, I'm going to close a door, a Big Mac truck can't drive through it. Can you say amen? How many feel like this is your time and season for God to bring deliverance for you? Here it is. Abraham is linked with faith. But then Jacob is linked, ladies and gentlemen, with encounters with God. Hallelujah. Woo! Now I'll end with this. He says, after the wrestle, Jacob, what's your name? His reply was, my name is Jacob. No, your name is not Jacob, because once you had an encounter with God, he changes everything. He says, your name is now Israel, the Prince of God. Now, wait a minute. Jacob didn't even know his identity. Can I say that again? And there are so many people that struggle in church, amen, with their identity in Christ because they don't know who they are. But don't be moved by that. It took God to tell Jacob who he really was. Your name's not Jacob. Your name is Israel. You're the Prince of God. When you don't know who you are, go to God, and I promise you he'll reveal your identity to you in the name of Jesus. Anybody in here know who you are in the body of Christ? Amen. Lay your hand on your shoulder right now and say, I know who I am in the name of Jesus. But I didn't come to preach about encounters. I didn't really come to preach about faith. Although this text, they're all joined and linked together. I came to preach tonight about the importance of you getting your flow back. Isaac, what does Isaac represent? Amen. He's the promised child. Y'all know Isaac. Amen. He's the one that Abraham waited for. God gives him a promise at 75 years old that I'm going to bless you with a son. Amen. And then 25 years later, amen, God revisits Abraham. He's 99. He's just about 100. How many know at 99 nothing works no more? Okay, some of y'all 69 and ain't nothing working. But anyway, let me stop right there. I may get in trouble. Praise the Lord. Amen. 99, nothing working. Now, sisters, don't y'all laugh because Sarah's 90. Thank you. And at 90, nothing works. Then again, we're in Oklahoma. So here's what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, amen. Now, amen. He's 100, she's 90. If something happens now, it'll be no doubt that God will have to get the glory. It's a setup. When it's beyond you, that's when God will get all the glory. But as long as you think you can do it, God steps back. Come on, somebody. But now, amen, a woman 90, a man 100 years old, praise God, and now she's pregnant. And the Bible says, I like the way Hebrews says it in 11. It says, and Sarah received strength to bear seed, to conceive seed, amen, to produce the child that God had sent through Abraham. God touched her old, weak, feeble body, amen, to bear Abraham a son in her old age at the set time. Oh, good God. That's what the Bible said. Let me tell you, when there's a promise over your life, I don't care how old you are, and if God said you're going to see it, amen, you can praise God right now and say it's already done. Ask old man Simeon and Anna that went into the temple every day, and the Bible says they went into the temple to offer up sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Waiting on the consolation of Israel. But when the Christ child was born, then they lifted him up and says, now, Lord, you can take your servant on home because mine eyes have seen, come on, somebody, amen, the Messiah. Can you say amen? And the Bible said they were old, amen, and stricken in age, but guess what? They stayed in the temple. Don't miss this. That simply means they stayed in the presence of God. And you got to stay in the presence of God when there's a promise over your life. So now, what does Isaac represent? Amen. That was only the introduction. We should be out of here before 12. Thank you. I got somebody who's going to hang with me tonight. Don't get nervous. Give me about 7 more preaching minutes. I did say preaching minutes. Y'all act like y'all know what preaching minutes mean. The front row like, oh, yeah, multiply it times 2. Come on, somebody. But no, I promise you, I won't hold you because I sense in my spirit tonight, amen, that there are people in here, praise God, just like Isaac. So now, Genesis chapter 26, Isaac comes on the scene, and the Bible says, and I don't have time to go back and talk about Rebekah while she's carrying them, praise God. She goes to God and say, why is it that my pregnancy is so tough and it's so rough? And then an angel spoke to her and said, you know what? You got more than 2 boys locked up, amen, in your womb. You've got two nations. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Some of you, amen, you're pregnant with miracles and dreams and signs and wonders, and you don't even realize sitting here right now, amen, that you've got something locked up in your spirit that God's going to use you down the road. And that's why the attack, and that's why the fight, and that's why you're going through what you're going through right now, because you have no idea what God is getting ready to do in your life and through you, in Jesus' name. Here it is. Isaac represents the promise and the redigging of wells. He's down in Gerar, and the Bible says he's got his bags packed and he's ready to go. And then he gets a word from the Lord. Stay in Gerar. He's headed to Egypt. Why Egypt? Because there are running rivers in Egypt. But he says, no, don't go there. I want you to stay right here. I'm going to bless you right here in this place. And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. And the same year, he received 100-fold. Really? In a time of famine? But he obeyed God in a time of famine. You know, even now, amen, during this pandemic, Pastor, I've never pastored in a pandemic before. We've seen the hand of God move, amen, in such a miraculous way. Praise God. No one could get the glory but God. I'm seeing God do some things, amen, during this pandemic when everybody else is giving up and walking away and saying, I don't know what else to do. Amen. I mean, times are crazy. Absolutely. But at the same time, God does his best work when your backs are against the wall. Come on, somebody. God does his best work in moments of chaos. God does his best work when you can't see your way out of whatever you're in. He's down in Egypt, amen, or down in Gerar, excuse me. Praise God, it means dwelling place. He's right there, and God says, stay right here, because I'm not finished, amen. I'm not done promising or fulfilling the promises that's been spoken over your father Abraham. I swear by the promises of God, and you know what? You are a recipient of what God is getting ready to do, and if you move too quick, you're going to miss, amen, what God has prepared for you. So Isaac dwelt in that land. He stayed there. And it takes faith to stay when you want to go. Come on. It takes real faith to stay when you see nothing happening. Amen. Anybody can stay when everything's falling in your direction. But what happens when you see the very opposite of what God has promised you? And so now, he stayed right there, and God blessed him 100-fold, and he had great possessions of flocks and herds and servants, and now the Philistines envied him. I'm coming to a close now, and the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, amen, that it was this Isaac, praise God, that began to move away and redig the wells of his father, amen, Abraham. Now, there were wells there, but the Philistines had covered them with dirt. Oh, yeah, there were wells already there, but they were filled with earth. They was filled with dirt. I want to ask you a question that only you can answer. What have you allowed to get into your well? Now, don't miss this because this is important. If the well is filled with dirt, that simply means there's no water flowing. It's stopped up. And how many people are sitting in church that have become spiritually stale because there's no flow of God that's in their life? Oh, come on, I'm coming for you tonight. Come on, somebody, because God wants you to leave out of here with wells springing up in your spirit. Can you say amen? How many will be honest and say, Bishop Webb, you know what? I've gone through a dry season in my life. Looked like I couldn't feel the presence of God or the power of God. And maybe this is why I know that God didn't allow me to preach this message this morning. He waited until the heavens were open to talk about rain and water. Come on, somebody, because water represents life. Can you say amen? But now, amen, there's no flow because the earth is filled or has filled the wells. And there are so many people today that sit in church and that have lost their flow because they've allowed their wells to be filled with dirt. And some of the dirt is fear. The fear of failure. The fear of moving forward in the things of God. the fear of stepping out by faith? What about, amen, the dirt of unforgiveness? And that's the big one right there. See how quiet it gets? There's always a holy hush. That's when you're preaching real good. Amen. How many know you got to forgive the people that have hurt you? Uh-huh. And some of you have lost your flow because you won't forgive. And you can't say you're forgiven if you keep bringing up the issue over and over again. Okay, that's a slow clap, but it'll do. Come on, somebody. Praise God. If you have chosen, you have to decide to forgive. And you have to make up your mind to forgive. Because if you don't, amen, the devil's going to rewind the tape and play the tape over and over and over and over again. Come on, who am I talking to tonight? Look at your neighbor and tell them, let it go, let it go, let it go. Praise God. And that's how people end up being bitter. And they sit in church and they go through the motions and they speak in tongues, but they won't speak to one another. Woo! I got to move, because when you're shooting like that, amen, it's hard to hit a moving target. Come on, somebody. When people get quiet, you got to parade the stage. Can you say amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Forgive the people that hurt you. And I know, I didn't say it was easy. I say it's necessary, because I refuse to allow whatever to stop my flow in God. Yes, you've been hurt, amen, and we don't minimize anybody's pain in here. Amen, hurt is hurt on every level, but you've got to learn to let it go. Okay, now I'm getting ready to give an altar call in just a minute. And this is the tough one right here. But Isaac kept on digging. Come on, somebody. Praise God. And you know what? You got to remove, amen, the unforgiveness and the hate and the anger and the bitterness. And the Bible says if you don't forgive, listen to what happened. It turns to anger and resentment. And then after resentment and anger, then it turns to bitterness. And once a Christian gets bitter, they spill wherever they go. Come on, somebody. You can't keep it to yourself. You've got to let everybody know, as if that justifies your behavior. Well, I'm bitter because of what they've done to me. Yes, you have every right to be upset and anger, but you're angry, but you have to let it go. And this is the big one right now. And maybe this is the reason why there's no more flow in your life. Amen. I've seen some people rather die than forgive. And they'll tell you, I'll never forgive them for what they've done. You know, when we started our TV broadcast 20-some years ago, and this lady called our office and said, you know, I want to talk to the preacher. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. It all depends. Most of the time it's not. Not with that tone. Hello. She said, I used to enjoy your preaching. Okay, thank you. She says, but you were preaching on forgiveness the other day. And she says, I want you to know this. I'll never forgive my ex-husband for raping my daughter. I said, okay. I said, ma'am, I understand that you're angry. And you have every right to be angry. But you have to forgive if you're going to live. No, I'm not going to forgive him. I hope he dies and busts hell wide open. That's what she said. I said, okay, I understand your anger. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. Amen. If you want the peace of God to flow in your life, you have to forgive. You don't never have to agree with what happened, and you never have to like what happened. Amen. But at the same time, if you want to be healed, you have to let it go. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to 2 people or 10 people or 20 people, but some of you are still holding on, amen, to old issues, and it is destroying you. You have no peace, and it has stopped your flow. But God says tonight, he's going to blow the top off. Come on, somebody, and you're about to get set free. Can you say amen? Praise God. And your well is getting ready to spring up again. Are y'all hearing me? What about the woman at the well? She kept coming day by day to try to quench the thirst that only Jesus could fulfill. Can you say amen? The only desire, y'all better help me here. There she's going to the well every day, but she ran into a real well. Thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus began to prophesy to this woman and say, amen, go get your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, truth. And matter of fact, the one you're living with now is not yours. Oh, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Amen. Because y'all say, oh, Jesus, he's a meek and humble lamb. Well, he's a lamb, boo, but he's a lion, too. Can you say amen? And so look what happens. Praise God. Now, this woman, Jesus says, the one that you're with now is not yours. Now, notice this. She got over five. Some of y'all can't shake one. That didn't go over well either. I'm in the book. Can you say amen? And so now, this woman, Jesus says, if you drink from this well, you will never thirst again. Because well represents prosperity, number one. And to have a well in biblical times where, amen, I mean, it was as equal of having an oil well today. Oh, I'm serious. Praise God. It was equivalent to owning an oil well today. Praise God. If you owned the well at that particular time, you had prosperity. Praise God. You was noted, amen, of a family of much means. And so now you need to understand these wells were there and they were dug by Abraham. But now since his death, the enemy has come in, ladies and gentlemen, and filled them with earth. And the Lord sent me here tonight and says, there's someone that's in this room tonight. Praise God. At one time, you had a flow with God, but something happened in your life, and as a result of that, now your flow has stopped. I'm coming to an end. Who did God send me to talk to? Because one issue, one situation, one circumstance, amen, have shifted your life, and you refuse to forgive and refuse to let go. But God sent me here to tell you tonight, amen, you are about to get your flow back again. I need you to look at your neighbor and tell them, keep on digging until your flow comes back. If that means I have to apologize, I'll apologize. Amen. But I'm willing to get, amen, over this hump. You know why? Because I need my flow going again. God wants to flow through you to touch other people, but it can never happen because your wells are stopped up and you have to let it go.